Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
1-1 pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez in toward the corner.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
Worryometer Wednesday. What, you were worried we weren't going to show up? Zero on the worryometer for that. I know we're a little bit later today, but I wanted to put together a very thorough show, a very worrisome show where we can freak out about Josh Bell and Aaron Judge. And other players like that. I got Chris Towers here. What up, Chris?
Adam, you're a good man and thorough.
I'm thorough. What does that mean?
You hate that movie, don't you? You're a weirdo.
What movie?
You don't like Big Lebowski.
Oh,
right?
No, I don't like the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you.
I'd like to watch it again. But I'll tell you a movie that I don't like that I would never watch again because it's so bad. The Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, come on.
Terrible movie.
Ugh.
Just, I hate all those movies.
Like, not to be, like, a stereotype of my...
Yeah, you are.
Gender and socioeconomic status and, you know, all that. It's a very good movie.
I don't know. I mean, you don't have to... I don't know if that makes you a stereotype, but you are.
No, it absolutely makes me a stereotype. I own vinyl and I like the Royal Tenenbaum. Come
on. You are a stereotype.
I stuck Richie Tenenbaum for Halloween once.
Yeah, you are. Okay. More pop culture, but also related to fantasy baseball. I think Chris enjoyed my tweet last night. Mike Talkman is greater than Tal Bachman, who sings, "She's so high."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. It's a great song.
You see, we're letting our hair down a little bit. All right, Tuesday standouts. Let's start with that. A couple pitchers that are owned in less than 60% of leagues. I want to know if you're interested in adding them for your stretch run. Mike Foltynewicz improved his slider and had a good start, 5 1/3, 3 runs. Is that good? No, not really, but it's encouraging for him. And 7 strikeouts at Minnesota, the toughest lineup arguably in baseball. So I'll take that for Mike Foltynewicz. I did not have any interest in this start. But, you know, he worked on the slider in the minors. He came up, and apparently it was better. And 5 1/3, 5 hits, 3 runs, 7 strikeouts at Minnesota. Denelson Lamet, this is a guy who entered the game with a 5.09 ERA, had not thrown more than 88 pitches, had not thrown more than 5 innings. 7 scoreless innings at Seattle, 12 strikeouts, 4 walks for Lamet, but his walk-to-strikeout ratio is terrific, and was flirting with the first no-hitter in Padres history. So Foltynewicz and Lamet, what do you think? They're both owned in less than 60% of leagues.
I'm more interested in Lamet than I am in Foltynewicz, and that, I would say, mostly just because we haven't seen Denelson Lamet fail as much as we've seen my Foltynewicz. You know, even if you want to give Foltynewicz a bit of a mulligan for earlier this season, you know, then you also probably have to give him a mulligan for last season when he was really good and performed at a level that he'd never been at before. But overall for his career, which is not a short amount of time, he's been like a 4 ERA guy. So I'm not saying I'm not at all interested in Foltynewicz, but give me the mystery box of Denelson Lamet.
But is he really a mystery box? Because I don't know how good the Lamet can be unless he pitches 6 innings. The only thing I know I'm going to get from Lamet is strikeouts. Everything else is a mystery box, but I feel like it's a mystery box that's going to have a bad prize in there, like a
Mike Foltynewicz.
Well, Foltynewicz was really good last year,
right? But
like, really,
his
good.
Career is not just last year.
And
his career has mostly been defined by us wondering, man, why doesn't Mike Foltynewicz get strikeouts?
And then
why
he picked it up
better.
Yeah, he picked it up. Well, the strikeouts. I mean, Lamet's definitely going to get more strikeouts. All right, I'll just leave it at that. Chris's answer will suffice. Any standouts for you?
Oh, there were tons of standouts yesterday. I assume I haven't been on the podcast in a few days, but I assume we've talked a lot about Nelson Cruz.
You know, it's like, what are you going to say about Nelson Cruz? But I do have a hey real quick with Nelson Cruz.
He's awesome.
Let's do the hey real quicks for all the double dongers yesterday. There were 3 of them. Soler, Cruz, and Gurriel. I hey real quicked all 3 of them. Hey real quick, Jorge Soler or Yasiel Puig?
Yasiel Puig.
All right.
Mostly just because of the stolen bases.
For what it's worth, they are almost even in terms of where they rank in Roto. 17th for Soler, 20th for Puig. But in points leagues, Soler's 18th and Puig's 29th. They're both hitting about the same, 253, 256. I don't know that you can expect much better from Soler in batting average. You might be able to get better than that from Puig, maybe like 270. Soler, 31 homers, 79 RBIs. Puig, 22 homers, 63 RBIs. Soler has not stolen a base, and Puig has 16 of them. So I could see an argument in Roto. I mean, I don't know. Before yesterday, I would have said Puig no matter what, but he's got 31 home runs, Jorge Soler. Like, that is really, really good.
Yeah, but that's kind of all he does.
It is.
And, you know, Puig, I think you can make an argument, especially in points leagues, that it might be closer because Puig's plate discipline isn't any better than Jorge Soler's, really. But in a Roto league, Puig got off to such a bad start that, you know, what he's done for the last 2.5 months, maybe it's not fair to just say, well, that's who he is now, but he's been so much better. It's really been about 2 months. I'd rather have that type of player.
I tend to agree. I know that the numbers don't support us, but I tend to agree. But you know, you should value Yasiel Puig. I mean, Jorge Soler. He's had a really, really good year. Top 20 outfielder. Hey, real quick, Bryce Harper and his 829 OPS or Nelson Cruz and his 1052 OPS? It's more than 200 points better than Bryce Harper. Cruz or Harper, real quick.
I mean, Nelson Cruz has been objectively better this season. The only argument for Harper would be that he has outfield eligibility.
Well, and Puig is, Soler's been objectively better than Puig.
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, also, Nelson Cruz is on an incredible run right now. He had two three-homer games in like 10 days or something. He double-donged yesterday. So he's really upped his standing. What would you say, Harper or Cruz?
I'm going to say Cruz. Over the last 16 games, Nelson Cruz has an OPS over 1,600.
What was his OPS before these 16 games?
I'm not sure.
Honestly,
I'm looking
still
at an article. Before he went to the injured list in mid-May, he had an 865 OPS.
Okay, that's still better than Harper.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you take Harper over Cruz.
In points, the plate, the walks and the strikeouts have gone down for Harper enough that over the last month or two that you can make an argument that his plate discipline could give him an edge. And Nelson Cruz has an 1176 OPS since coming back from the IL.
Kind of crazy. So far in August, Bryce Harper's struggling. He's batting 200. It's only six games. 200 with one home run. July was fine. 259 with three home runs. 17 walks, 25 strikeouts, and one steal. You know, the OPS is always going to look kind of high for Harper because he walks so much. But I'm more interested in the P than the O. No, the S than the O. I don't care, but the P is just plus. I'm more interested in the S than the O. I want the slugging, not the I mean, I want both, but yeah, he's
no,
not,
but that is a fair point when it comes to fantasy, is that slugging is going to lead to more RBI. On base percentage obviously will lead to more runs, but slugging will also lead to runs. So if you're talking about, you know, from a real baseball perspective, on base percentage is the more valuable stat in terms of telling you a player's value. But in fantasy, slugging is going to be the more valuable stat.
All right. Yuli Gurriel, who double-donged, much to Chris's chagrin. Or Eduardo Escobar. Yuli Gurriel or Eduardo Escobar?
That's one where I may take Gurriel. I do want to point out that his average home run distance this season is 390 feet, which is below the likes of Colton Wong, Ty France, Gene Segura. However, it's also 1 foot shorter than Carlos Correa, so there's the left field in Houston that you have to account for. But No, Yuli Gurriel, fine. He's had a nice run. But before this game, he had been pretty miserable. He'd been pretty Yuli Gurriel.
He had been 3-for-19 with two doubles in his previous five games. Not a huge
But even before
slump.
That, he hadn't homered in like 12 or something. And he was hitting like 280 in that span, but very little power.
That is Gurriel. Yeah, that is Gurriel for you. But you'd still take him over Escobar, who we kept saying, sell high, sell high, at the All-Star break. This big overachiever. And look, he's batting .232 since the All-Star break. He's on base at .286, but he has 7 home runs and 3 triples. A .516, nearly a .300 ISO. It's like .284 or something like that. So that's Escobar. You know, every time I see the box score that he keeps getting these extra base hits, I'm like, come on, really? I thought we were supposed to be bad in the second half. So, all right, so what's your final answer, Gurriel or Eduardo Escobar?
I think I could take Gurriel there.
All right. We have a couple of sponsors today. We have SeatGeek. Promo code is FANTASY for $10 off your first purchase. By the way, if you're listening tonight, I did see a notification on my phone that they have a 10% discount off of football tickets, I believe. So they do have those types of things, and it ends midnight. So they do have those types of things on SeatGeek. Again, promo code is FANTASY for $10 off your first purchase. Our other sponsor is ZipRecruiter. If you are trying to hire someone, go to ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Very, very cool technology. They take your job. They send it out to so many people. They sort through the applications. They find the best matches for your job. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Oh, we got some mega duds. Mega duds from yesterday, Chris. John Lester, Jose Berríos, and to a lesser extent, Zach Greinke. But like, to be fair to Lester, he gave up 11 runs, but only 10 of them were earned. And Jose Berríos gave up 9 earned runs and only has a 3.24 ERA after and a 1.15 WHIP after that shellacking against the Braves. Are you okay dropping John Lester? 4.46 ERA, 2 horrible starts in a row, 1.41 WHIP.
Well, what was his ERA before the last two starts? Probably pretty good, right?
I'm gonna guess it was 3.80s. I'll find out for you.
Yeah, there was a tweet going around earlier that I can't find, but it was basically John Lester has one of these starts at this time of the year every year, and it was like 7 straight years where like
really
the first couple of weeks after the All-Star break, he has like a 3 innings, 9 earned runs or 10 earned runs kind of start, which is kind of interesting, but I don't know how valuable it is. I think you can drop him. I'm not saying you should, though.
Okay, he had a 3.63 ERA. He was 9-6. This is before his last two starts.
Yeah.
110 strikeouts in 114 innings, and I will calculate the WHIP. 125 plus 26 divided by 114. Yeah, he's always had a high WHIP this year, 132. Yeah.
One thing I do want to point out about Berríos is he's been outstanding this season, really has, but he actually has a worse Sierra this year than he did last year, and his FIP is only slightly better.
You've always been you hate Berríos, you hate his guts.
I love Berríos.
Sure you do.
I just think he might be a little bit overrated for fantasy.
Well, I was really, you know, harping on the fact that he was going to take advantage of easy matchups, but the Indians are no longer an easy matchup for what that's worth. You know, he should have a good record. He should be better than 10-6. He's 10-6, Berríos. He gave up 9 runs, 2 homers against the Braves. And I love the WHIP. 1.15 WHIP, that's really good. You look at recent starts, though. He's only had 2 quality starts, I think, in his last 6. And they were at the White Sox and at Miami. So he comes back from those 2, which are really good. Gets crushed by the Braves. He gets the Indians this weekend. And then he's at Texas next week. We'll see how he comes out of those. I mean, I'm going to be higher on Berríos than Chris always. You know what? This is one of those things where, like, what the heck are you going to do? You're going to start him. You're going to start him no matter what.
Yeah, no, that's also my argument. It's never been that, like, Berríos is benchable, but just that, you know, he might not be an ace.
Zach Greinke, 6 innings, 5 earned runs against the Rockies in his Houston debut. Nothing to see here, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe there's something about the Astros that makes them able to turn Aaron Sanchez into a good pitcher, but they'll ruin Zach Greinke. That seems unlikely to me.
Okay, that's the top of the show. We got a lot more. The Worryometer is coming up next. We got news and notes. Another Yankee gets injured. And we're going to read some emails. Fantasybaseball at CBSI.com. Worryometer's up next after this break.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Oh, Chris, you worried? You worried on this Wednesday?
Almost always.
Yeah. Stereotypical. Josh Bell. He is now the number 12 hitter in points leagues, number 18 in Roto, batting .279 with 27 home runs. Jorge Soler has more home runs than Josh Bell. He hasn't homered since the All-Star break. In his last 50 games, Josh Bell is batting .202. He is walking. He is, you know, in those 50 games, he still has 9 home runs, all of them before the All-Star break. But since the All-Star break, it's just been awful. .176 batting average. He is walking. .299 on base, but a .230 slugging percentage. 4 doubles. Yeah, 0 to 10, Worryometer on Bell.
Gosh, that, I don't know, because you shouldn't have expected him to be as good as he was in the first half. That this was something that was probably always going to happen. Not to this extent, however. He's better than this. So, I would say 5.
Yeah, I want to believe in him, so I think trade deadlines are over for a lot of people, but I'm in a league that's still going. I might put out a Josh Bell offer.
Here's something interesting. So his ex-WO before the season is .379, which is in the top 9% of baseball. So it's still very good. In April, it was .387. In May, it was .459. And then in June, it was .334. July, .347. And then in the very early going in August, he appears to have earned every bit of his struggles. But what we're seeing is maybe Josh Bell not as an elite hitter, but maybe more as like a .350 to .360 wOBA guy, in which translated to OPS is probably like mid-800s, which is very good, but not necessarily the early round stud that we thought he might be.
Okay. Bell, by the way, is going to get a few days off to sort of refresh. Garrett Cooper hurt his hamstring on July 31st. In his last 15 games, well, he went 2-for-3 yesterday at the Mets, but in the 15 games before that, Garrett Cooper was batting .128 with 1 extra base hit and 1 walk to 16 strikeouts. That's a lot of ones. That's not good. He, by the way, he has just a 20% fly ball rate this year and a 29.8% home run to fly ball rate. So, one, how worried are you about Cooper, 0 to 10? And two, why'd y'all keep telling me that Garrett Cooper was so good?
He makes really good contact. He doesn't necessarily, like you said, hit a lot of fly balls.
20%, my goodness, that's really bad.
Yeah, and so he was always more like, why was Garrett Cooper so good? Well, what does that mean? Like 20th best first baseman, 45th best for outfielder?
Well, you know, he was being positioned on this podcast as a must-add player.
Should he have been? The 20th best first baseman, if he's available everywhere, is probably a must-add player.
Okay. Well, do you think he's going to turn it around?
Yes. Not to the extent he was before, but yeah, I believe in his hitting ability.
Garrett Cooper, Worryometer.
4.
Aaron Judge, Worryometer.
What are we worried about?
Since the All-Star break, he has 3 home runs.
Yeah, but
25
like,
games.
You don't have any home runs.
It's a 0 for me.
Yeah. So like 10 on the Worryometer for Adam Azer.
Oh, for me? Yeah. No, Aaron Judge, 0, though.
I'm sorry, what was his injury? It was a hand injury, right?
It was oblique.
Okay, oblique injury. That is certainly a worrisome injury, but he's still hitting the ball literally harder than anyone in baseball. Yeah, His average exit velocity is 97.5 miles per hour, so I'll say zero.
Okay. Justin Upton, he homered yesterday, drove in three, he walked twice. But for the year, Justin Upton's been terrible. 213 batting average, 303 on base, 393 slugging percentage. Six homers in 34 games, one steal. Upton had one hit in his previous six games before a good day yesterday. Worryometer on an 82% owned Justin Upton.
Yeah, I think it's got to be like a 7 or an 8. His average exit velocity is down to 87.2 miles per hour. He'd been between 89 and 91 in the previous four seasons during the Statcast era. So he's another guy who has earned pretty much every bit of his struggle so far. This isn't bad luck. Maybe that toe is still bothering him. So yeah, 7 or 8.
Would you drop Justin Upton for Tal Bachman or Mike Tauchman?
Not for Tal Bachman. Probably not for Mike Tauchman.
How about for Adam Duvall or Robert Duvall?
No, I don't think I would for either.
Trent Grisham or John Grisham?
No.
Okay. How about Willie Calhoun or...
That's getting a little better.
Yeah, or Willie Nelson?
I think I might do it for Willie Calhoun, but I'm a big Willie Calhoun fan. I believe in him a lot, and you might not get the same answer from everyone on this podcast.
Okay, fair enough. All right, one more on the Worryometer. Stupid. I thought he was in a much deeper slump, but I don't think it's that stupid, actually. Last nine games, Keston Hira is batting 125 with two walks, 12 strikeouts for Keston Hira. So he has cooled off. I was always a little bit worried because the plate discipline was so bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 0-10 for Hira, who, remember, at one point a few weeks ago, he had been the number one second baseman in fantasy since his call-up. And he's come on tough times, Keston Hira.
Yeah, I think I still view him more in the second half of the top 12. If that makes sense, but 4 or 5. Yeah, the plate discipline is really bad. He strikes out a ton. But it could be a situation where he's a little bit like Fernando Tatis and it just doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, Tatis is I think doing exactly what we expected. Like the batting average is falling. He's still striking out, but he's still like homered yesterday. So he was a sell high, but he wasn't like, oh my gosh, he's going to be terrible if you keep him. We just wanted you to get some great, great value for Tatis. Hopefully you did for Hira as well. Would you rather have Keston Hira or Jeff McNeila?
You're in a mood.
Yeah. I've been...
I think I might rather have McNeil.
Yeah, I've been really weird lately. Keston Hira or... Daniel Murphy.
Here.
Okay. And injuries, news, and notes. Gleyber Torres left with a core issue. He might have to go on the IL. I should probably check the headlines because this is all from last night. So I'm going to do a quick search, see if there's any updates. Alex Verdugo is on the IL. He has an oblique strain. And I just feel like this is another way to get Gavin Lux up. I don't know if they are interested in playing Lux at second base, but you move Muncy to first, you move Bellinger to the outfield, and we're in Lux.
Yeah, and I'd like to see that. His profile is really impressive. It looks a little bit like Willie Calhoun's when he was in the minors, except Gavin Lux apparently has improved enough defensively that people can envision him at least as a shortstop. Long term.
Tony Gonsolin, who we talked about yesterday, he was sent to AAA, but he could be back soon. However, it might be as a reliever. It doesn't seem like the Dodgers exactly know what they're doing with their rotation. They will get Hyunjin Ryu back on Sunday, most likely. Couple of bullpen items. Jose Leclerc appears to be the closer, but Sean Kelly is back. Based on some comments from Chris Woodward, it seems like Jose Leclerc has that job.
Yeah, I think that should be the expectation moving forward.
Meanwhile, Arizona DFA'd Greg Holland. So I think Archie Bradley's going to get the bulk of the saves there, would be my guess.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Archie Bradley has not been as good this season, but we've seen him pitch very well as a reliever in the past.
And I think the fact that they might use him still for two innings or more than one inning probably limits the amount of saves he could get, you know.
Sure.
But still, Bradley's someone to pick up. Tim Beckham suspended 80 games for a PED violation. Cubs reliever Brandon Kinsler's on the IL in case you were looking at him for some stopgap saves. Pedro Strop is back, but he will not be in the mix for saves while Kimbrel's out. Christian Yelich sat with a back issue yesterday and could sit today. Lorenzo Cain is day-to-day. Max Scherzer's not really making a ton of progress right now. Something we got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's actually... So what odds would I have to have given you before the season to get you to take Clayton Kershaw innings pitched in 2019 over Max Scherzer?
Oh, boy. 3-1.
Only 3-1. I was thinking more like 20-1 with the way people were talking about Kershaw and the way we were talking about Max Scherzer.
Yeah, yeah, pitchers could always get hurt. So
he's only four behind.
Yeah, he has pitched six innings in all
every
20 of his starts.
He's averaging 6.5 innings per start. And this was what I was saying before the season when comparing him to Walker Buehler, because Buehler, there was just no way he was going to get to 200 innings. They were just not going to let him do it. Kershaw, whenever he was healthy, they let him pitch deep into games last season. He was fourth in the majors in innings pitched after the All-Star break last year.
Wow.
And I think he's like close to the top 10 over the last calendar year. So
yeah, he's been awesome. And his strikeouts have been really good lately at least,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
it's going to be really interesting what we do with Clayton Kershaw next year.
Yeah, it is. The Rangers are going to call up starting pitcher Colby Allard to start at Milwaukee on Friday. Interested? He had some work with the Braves and it didn't go well.
But. Yeah, I'm moderately interested in him. He was someone who was a top 50 prospect, I believe, in baseball at one point. Just kind of fell off prospect maps as he's struggled to get strikeouts in the high minors. So we'll see. You know, definitely not someone you want to ignore.
Yeah, Colby Allard now with the Rangers. Ken Giles is not going to pitch back-to-back nights until further notice. Bo Bichette became the first player in MLB history to get 10 extra base hits in the first 9 games of his career. That's from the Associated Press. Quite a start for Bo Bichette. And Jay Bruce could be back this week. Okay, we got some deep league guys. We got Mike Tauchman, 25% owned. We talked about him yesterday, but he had another good game. He has 10 home runs. He homered yesterday. He has 5 hits and 3 homers in 2 games, both all 3 of them at Baltimore. So all 3 of the home runs, both of the games. 299 batting average, 371 slugging, or on base, 563 slugging, 10 homers, 4 steals, and 60 games, crushing lefties, and he's a lefty. Do you want to talk about Mike Tauchman?
Yeah, that's the tough thing, because I think he's more of a, I feel like he's more of a daily leagues guy because of how good he's been against lefties.
But he's a lefty.
Yeah, so that's what's hard to get your mind around. I don't think he's someone who's must-add in all leagues, but definitely in daily leagues when he's in the lineup, he seems like someone you should be adding.
Yeah, I tried to add him in a 13-team Roto League last night. I got outbid. I added him in a 12-team Roto League on Sunday. And what part of it was at the Orioles and at the Blue Jays this week, the matchups were great. So I'm not surprised he's having this good of a week. You got to figure there's a slump coming. At the same time, you don't have to worry as much about playing time right now because, one, he's hot, and two, Aaron Hicks is out. So that's a good thing for Tauchman. I don't know that he'll start every day against righties necessarily, but
against
lefties, I mean.
Now,
yeah.
He has a 600 BABIP against lefties.
600? That's 600's pretty good.
That's high. He's been very good against righties. So I would expect, yeah, looking into it now, I would expect him to be a lot better against righties moving forward. Okay. He's hitting for more power, and yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay, Mike Tauchman. Now, Travis DeMeritt, Tigers...
Talk.
What's that?
Good talk, man.
Good talk, man, yeah. Travis DeMeritt, Tigers outfielder, is 5% owned. He has stolen 2 bases in 6 games. Anytime somebody comes up and steals like that, you got to take a look. His career high in the minors was 17 steals in 2016, but DeMeritt, only 4 steals in 96 games in AAA this season. So I'm not quite sold that he's going to be a steal source. Meanwhile, there's a guy named Aristides Aquino.
Yeah.
He's big. His nickname is the Punisher. He
awesome.
Destroyed a ball yesterday to center field. He's batting .438 with an .813 slugging percentage in six games. Five of them are starts. Aristides Aquino is a Reds outfielder. He changed his stance to now a wide open stance. He had a closed stance before. And really wasn't so great in the minors, but had a .992 OPS, not in the PCL, but in the International League this season.
Yep.
So this is an interesting guy at 5% owned.
Yeah, looking at it, he looks like someone who was just kind of an all-or-nothing power hitter throughout his minor league career. And, you know, as you move up the minor league ladder, you can start to get exposed a little bit. And he had a .678 OPS in his first stint at Double-A, .754 in his second. But then he gets to Triple-A, and they're using that. Even in the International League, home runs are way up. Because they're using that major league ball and it's juiced and it's going to go a little further. And maybe that can be the difference for a fringy power hitter like Aquino,
Aquino. Yeah.
If he's, you know, a pretty good power hitter, but with a middling skill set otherwise, but all of a sudden he's hitting 10 more home runs every year, that can make a big difference.
Yeah, all right, so that's Aristides Aquino, 5% owned outfielder for the Reds, Aquino. Oh, wonderful. Let's take a quick break. Why, that was such a weird... Wonderful. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, three-man rotation, fringy starting pitchers, bullpen updates, and your emails on Fantasy Baseball Today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Before the show started, I said, Chris, you got a standout? And he said, well, I think I got a standout. How about Zach Wheeler? It's like, no, boring. But now you can make him a standout.
He did stand out.
8 scoreless innings, 5 Ks against Miami.
Yeah, he's actually been, you know, an issue for him, especially early, was the control. I believe he hasn't walked more than 2 batters in a start since April, which is pretty stunning. And since the All-Star break, he has been outstanding. 19 strikeouts, 1 walk. 19? Is my math off there? No, that's right. 19 walks, 19 strikeouts to 1 walk and 20 and a third innings. And even going back towards the end of June, his last 6 starts, he has a .287 ERA, 41 strikeouts, only 6 walks. That's really impressive for a guy who has always had kind of middling command and control, but he's gotten even better than his breakout last season in that regard. I think there's a lot to like about Zach Wheeler. He was someone who was on my second half buy lows at the All-Star break, and he's really coming together.
So Wheeler, it's a 3-man rotation tonight with Wheeler, or today with Wheeler, Michaelis, and Herman Marquez. So I'm going to ask you to rank them, and if you went back to Monday's show when I tried to preview Monday night's games, but I actually previewed Tuesday night's games, I said start Herman Marquez at Houston, start him on every road start. He had a .320 ERA on the road before that starting and had a great start at the Yankees, had a great start at Cincinnati, whatever, and just shut out the Dodgers over 6 innings at home. Michaelis, I was very iffy on, and I think at the end I was like, I don't feel comfortable telling you what to do on Miles Michaelis, which is, I'm sure, exactly what you wanted to hear on a fantasy podcast. Michaelis was very good. 6 1/3, 2 runs, 7 strikeouts at the Dodgers. Marquez was bad. 5 innings, 5 runs, 2 homers at Houston. So how would you rank Wheeler, Michaelis, and Marquez?
Wheeler, Marquez, Michaelis.
Okay, I agree. I think most people agree. But some people are going to want to drop Herman Marquez. It's like, if you can't use him on the road, then when can you use him? But I think you can.
This was, what, the first time he's been bad on the road? I guess he wasn't great in that start at Arizona in the beginning of July, but before that, it had been since June 5th that he'd allowed more than two earned runs in a start on the road. So, no, you're still starting him everywhere when he's on the road. And Ramon Marquez is going to be someone I'm going to be very, very excited to draft next year, because there's no way he can be this bad. And your expectation should be more like an overall 4 ERA rather than a 4.80 ERA.
Frenchie starting pitchers. Dylan Cease was good enough. Got the win. 5 innings, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts at Detroit. Anthony DeSclafani was not good enough. He gave up 2 home runs. He gave up 4 runs and 5 and a third against the Angels. Asher Wojciechowski, we're probably done with him. 2 brutal starts in a row. And next week, not the worst matchups for Asher Wojciechowski, at the Yankees and at Boston. He could be at Colorado and at Boston.
Yeah, not the worst.
In all honesty, the Yankees lineup is not special right now. But still, they're the ones who just destroyed him yesterday. Jake Junis is on a heck of a run. 3.23 ERA in his last 6 starts, more than a strikeout per inning. And he just did great at Boston last night. 40% owned Jake Junis, 42% owned Brett Anderson, who I know Chris is not buying. But I said Dylan Cease, Anthony DeSclafani, Asher Wojciechowski, Jake Junis, and Brett Anderson. Of those 5, are there any that you'd be wanting to add right now?
Yeah, Dylan Cease for sure. Struggled mightily with his control in his first 4 starts, but he's got 12 strikeouts to 3 walks over his last 2. At Detroit, obviously, that's maybe the best matchup in baseball, but the Mets, you know, right now especially are hitting the ball very well. So him for sure, he's starting to show that potential. And one thing that's really nice is they are letting him go deep into games. He's thrown at least 98 pitches in all 6 of his games, and he's gone over 104 of 6. So
they're letting him throw a lot of pitches, but they're not. But he's not getting deep into games.
Well, but that,
which, no, it's a good thing.
They are letting him,
yes,
theoretically get deep into
games. He just needs to be.
If he can get there,
right? He needs to be more efficient, Dylan Cease, because he has thrown 98 or more in all 6 starts, but only twice has he pitched 6 innings.
Yeah.
So, what about Fulton-Evich and Lamet versus Cease?
I guess I'd rank them Lamet, Fulty, Cease.
Okay.
But I'd kind of be hoping Fulty is owned in my league, so I don't have to go add him.
How about Jake Junis?
I just don't buy it. He hasn't been this kind of strikeout pitcher before. I sincerely doubt he's going to keep this up. It's a nice run, but guys have nice runs.
He's so homer prone, Jake Junis, that it doesn't take much for things to go south. Or really, I guess they go north because, you know, they're home runs.
Well, I don't know what direction Kauffman Stadium is facing.
Although, to his credit, he has the same home run rate this year that he had last year, which is always a good thing when in this environment. But it's 1.6 per 9 last year was outrageous. How's 1.6 per 9 this year? Still, it can't be good.
Not good, yeah.
Bullpen notes, Shane Green stunk again. I don't know what to say at this point. It was a non-save.
It's coming.
Non-save situation at least, but
his career
terrible.
Is not good.
But it's not that, like, he's had a good year before.
Sure, he's had a single good year before.
But this was his second good year.
Kind of. It was his second good half season, but we're talking about he had thrown, 38 innings before getting to the Braves? Like, that's what Jake Junis has thrown in his last 6 innings, his last 6 starts. Actually, 1 less inning.
Yeah.
And so this is something we have to keep in mind with relievers when we're talking about half seasons, or even when we're talking about full seasons, is...
I know. We don't have to go through this again. All right, Shane Green, I don't think he's going to lose the job, but it won't be Luke Jackson.
No, I would, if you were speculating on anyone, and I just don't think that's worth it right now, Mark Melancon would be the guy.
Okay. What's his name? Swarzak pitched the 8th yesterday, but it was a blowout win. It wasn't a save situation. Raisel Iglesias is hopefully turning things around. Last 7 appearances, 6 1/3, 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 8 strikeouts. No earned runs, at least. That's Iglesias. And Matt Albers got a save for Milwaukee yesterday. I wouldn't expect that to keep happening, but he does have 1 earned run allowed in his last 10 appearances. It was yesterday. Josh Hader threw an inning and a third on Monday. Yeah, there are probably going to be some openings for saves in Milwaukee, just like what I talked about with Archie Bradley. You know, they use Hader for more than one inning, so whatever. Freddy Peralta, I'm pretty sure, was terrible last time out. Whatever. I don't think we need to talk about this anymore. But that would be Matt Albers. So I want to read some emails here. I got to tell you, I'm really surprised and flattered about the amount of emails we've been getting lately. So let me see. From this is from Dodger fan in the Bay. So funny that the Giants didn't trade anyone and now are plummeting out of the wild card. Yeah, I know. Who didn't see that coming? Like, that is the... Ugh. Why do you guys automatically dismiss Ahmed Rosario whenever someone gives you a list of who to add or drop? Mostly Adam, I've noticed. Yankees versus Mets thing? No, I just don't think he's that good. Why are people adding Ahmed Rosario? That's what I want to know.
There was the hope. There was the hope that he'd be running more this season. I don't know. Is he doing... He's hitting the ball well lately. He has a 962 OPS over the last 28 games, so that's why. But it's come with a 397 BABIP. It's come with decent plate discipline, but not great, and not enough power where you think, okay, that he's really taking a step forward. So he's fine to add, but I don't think he's in the top 15 or 18 at shortstop.
Okay. Adam, I hope that... Add him, not Adam. I hope that was good enough. This is from Benjamin. Dear Sherlock, Monk, and Columbo.
Okay.
I rank them Monk, and then I don't care. Monk is one of my all-time faves. Top five show for me.
I love the BBC Sherlock. Big fan of that.
Stereotype. Any insight on whether Kyle Tucker will ever be called up again?
It's so weird because there were a lot of reports. Our Jim Bowden had talked about it on the Fantasy Baseball Today video show that we did for the last 2 months. And he mentioned it a couple times that there seemed to be an indication that the Astros had soured on
that,
Kyle Tucker.
That Hinch. He's not a Hinch guy. Hinch doesn't love Tucker. Like, the front office likes him, but
yeah.
Maybe there's some work ethic, right?
Made untouchable at the All-Star break, according to reports. So that's that one's hard to square a little bit. So I'm not 100% sure what to make of that.
Yeah, I said work ethic. I don't know that it was specifically his work ethic. I should walk back on that. But it's just something like he's not a all-out baseball junkie. Gosh, this is actually quite irresponsible of me to not remember for sure. But I think that's what was said.
No, I think the general gist was that Hinch just wasn't a fan. Whatever the specifics were, that seemed to be the case. And I don't know, he's still hitting, but he has a 903 OPS at AAA. He had a 989 OPS last year. Given the juiced ball, he's actually hitting worse this year relative to the league. So that's a little concerning. Yeah, I think we'll see him eventually, but you're probably going to need to see at least one injury in the outfield. Good news is he's still only 22 years old.
Okay. Next email is from Casey. Do you think Domingo Herman is going to get shut down? I was just offered Luis Castillo for Foltynewicz and Herman. Do you think I should accept? Yes, yes, yes. Get Castillo.
Yeah, I'm fine with making that trade, but shut down. He's not going to get shut down.
Something's going to happen. I don't know about shutdown, but I don't think he's making every start. I don't think he's starting every 5 or even 6 days. They seem to be concerned about the innings. Even Aaron Boone said we're going to have to address it at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So something's going to happen. So if you can get Luis Castillo for him and Foltynewicz, yeah, I think you'd do that.
Yeah, no, getting Castillo, is this a keeper league?
No.
Getting Castillo for Herman? Straight up?
Yeah, I don't get it.
That's an easy win, even if Herman was going to pitch the rest of the season.
Yep. From Carl, because Foltynewicz isn't making that big of a difference in that trade. From Carl, I give up Trevor Bauer, I get Chris Bryant in a points league. Which side do you like?
Give up Trevor Bauer, get Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Probably just depends on whether you need pitching or hitting. I'm sorry that's not helpful.
I'd rather have Bryant. If I were drafting right now, I'd draft Bryant first.
Probably.
This is from Kurt in Kingsville, Ontario, Canada. Apparently, I say Toronto wrong. I think it's supposed to be Toronto, like T apostrophe Rano. Just letting everybody know.
I've definitely heard that.
Yeah. Hello to the Denim Boys, because it's all in the jeans. Can you talk about what to do with Eloy Jimenez and or Franmil Reyes? Should I cut bait on one or both to use bench spots? He could get, oh yeah, like you got to drop one of them for Bo Bichette. Other guys he could pick up are Willie Calhoun, Talkman, J.D. Davis, Sanel, Kingery, Savale, Patrick Sandoval, Dustin May, Brendan McKay. You know what? If you don't need them, how do you feel about this? If you don't need Eloy or Franmil Reyes, I would cut them for Bo Bichette and Brendan McKay.
I would rather have Reyes than Jimenez at this point. And yeah, you drop Jimenez for Bo Bichette. McKay for Franmil, it depends on whether you need pitching. I still believe Franmil Reyes is going to be very good.
So I feel like Eloy was actually getting pretty hot before getting hurt. Let's check in on that. Yeah, I would say so. I'll go about a month. Okay. From June 9th to July 16th, 947 OPS, 10 home runs.
Yeah, he was really good in June.
Jimenez. Yeah.
It was his best month.
And then he got hurt and things have been sidetracked. So, look, the fact is I love Bo Bichette and I really like Brendan McKay. Obviously, he's pitching. He's going to be pitching before most of you hear this against Toronto. So that could alter things. But
yeah. The thing for me is with Bichette and Jimenez, if both were prospects right now, Bichette might be the more highly ranked of the two.
And also, like with Eloy and Franmil Reyes, because a lot of owners are probably frustrated, you're not dropping him for Mike Talkman. You're not dropping him for J.D. Davis. Yeah. You're not doing it for Patrick Sandoval or Anthony DeSclafani. Like, it's got to be someone that you love.
Got to be someone you think can make a difference, because there's still the chance that Eloy Jimenez can be a difference maker.
Oh, man, I don't have music for this. I wish I had the regulators music. All right, fantasy regulators. Boom, 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 ba-da-da. Big debate in our league regarding how divisions should be structured. Two divisions of six teams or three divisions of four teams?
You shouldn't have divisions. What's the point? You know, you don't have to account for travel like they do in real sports, which is the only reason that divisions really make any sense anymore, is to consolidate the amount of miles that teams have to travel during a season.
I'm just realizing now this is a football email, but I think it works anyway.
Yeah, I don't see much point in having divisions. It just kind of further exacerbates the, like, oh, you got lucky because of your schedule, which I don't mind in general, but once you add divisions in there and, like, a team makes the playoffs because they happen to play in a crappy division, that I'd rather not do. But two teams of six if you really have to.
I like divisions. I do. I like to divide people. So
yeah, you're trying to keep us divided.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate that.
That's what I would do. All right, one more email here. Grade the trade, Dynasty League. Head-to-head, 10-team head-to-head Dynasty League. Give up Carlos Correa and Nelson Cruz. Get George Springer. I hate this trade. I'm telling you now, I hate it. George Springer, Marcus Semien, Jose Abreu, and Sean Doolittle. He needs an outfielder, so I get it, because you're getting Springer. But the next two players, like Correa and Cruz, and then you're getting Semien, Abreu, and Doolittle for Correa and Cruz. You're also getting Springer.
The one thing is, if you're passing on, if you're keeping Nelson Cruz, you've got to like be a championship contender this year or next year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the only thing that would make me, like, if you're fringy, this isn't going to make you a contender probably, unless you've got someone awesome at DH that you can replace Cruz with. But I think I would pass if you're competing right now.
All right, Chris, we are done for the day. A wonderful
cool
Worryometer Wednesday for you here. We'll come back tomorrow with another edition. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Your emails, by the way, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. So send them in. For Chris Towers, I'm Adam Azer. Talk to you tomorrow.